Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. A happy Tuesday to you. So here's a deep question, a thoughtful question for you to consider. Are you ready? What does it mean for God to be God? I mean, do you really believe He's greater than your circumstances, that He's stronger than your fears and truer than the lying messages that come your way every single day? You know, we so often get used to going through life with a measure of unbelief that we never even address. We never stop and tackle it and wrestle it to the ground. We never confront it or challenge it. But here's what's true. Either He's God or He's not. And that's the title of one of my guests in studio today. Title of his book is Either He's God or He's Not, Jeff Kerr. And with his beautiful wife, Christy Kerr, I'm going to give them a proper introduction in just a moment. But we're going to talk today about, you know what? It's just time for us to upgrade our theology. In fact, I would say that that's going to be true of us until we see Jesus face to face, because we know in part. But I would say anything we know of God now, it's like we hold it in a Dixie cup and the ocean remains. There's always more to know of Him, always more to experience of Him. And I think it's interesting how we do live with a level of unbelief in certain areas of our lives, but we don't ever address it. We don't ever wrestle it through. And so the challenge today is for you to get a new and fresh perspective of who God is and see Him in the midst of the circumstances that trouble you. Well, Christy and Jeff are amazing worship leaders, among many other things. So they brought their guitar in. So it's actually going to be an artist corner today. You know, we do these every once in a while. We've had Carrie Jobe in studio. We've had Matt Marr in studio, Jeremy Camp on the phone, and all singing their songs and sharing their hearts. And that's what we're doing today with Jeff and Christy. In second hour, our good friend Gary Thomas joins us again to talk about a woman's influence in a man's heart in marriage. And that's going to be a powerful show as well. So we've got a great couple hours planned for you today. So here's my question I'm going to ask you before I get my guests on. What does it mean for you today to believe that God is God? Is there an area in your life where you need an upgrade in your perspective of who He is and what He's capable of? Let me tell you about my guests and we'll get them on the show. Jeff and Christy Kerr met at North Central Bible College in 1994. They've been in full-time ministry since 1997, serving as music directors and worship pastors. In 2011, Jeff and Christy launched Fourth Floor Ministries, a creative resource for churches. And in March of 2015, they launched a brand new church, Homestead Community Church, in Farmington, Minnesota. So if you live in that area and you're looking for a church, you've got to check them out. Their names of their kids are just adorable. Lucy, Charlie, Betty, and Dottie. Her name is Dorothy, but they call her Dottie. And I got to tell you another personal connection, because yesterday we started the first of 6-week series on my new book, Your Sacred Yes, and there's a companion DVD that goes with the book. Well, Christy is the producer for that DVD, and she produced my Your Beautiful Purpose DVD. Jeff, her husband, did original scores for both of those DVDs. So when you hear that beautiful music come underneath the video, oh my goodness, that's Jeff Kerr. And so, boy, they have the gifts, and you guys kind of keep on going. But thank you so much for joining us in studio today.
Well, thank you for having us, Susie. It's great to be here.
Honored to have you. I love you, Christy.
I love you.
We're
too.
We're both like smiling ear to ear. We love it when we get to play together,
yes,
right?
I'm so happy.
Me too. So happy right now. Well, we love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture, and you chose a couple of scriptures. So I'll go with you, Jeff, first, if you don't mind. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good, those who love God and have been called according to His purposes. Speak to that verse and why it matters to you so much.
Well, you mentioned our journey, the short version of our journey over the last several years, and there have been some ups and some downs. And I found myself, often when there would be a circumstance that would be difficult, I would find myself giving myself an excuse for all sorts of selfish thoughts or behaviors. And what I was realizing is through those dark times, through the valleys, through the trying times, God is still at work. God is working in us. We tend to think of circumstances as, God, you're going to work so that I get out of this difficult circumstance as soon as possible. And what I'm learning and continue to learn is that God is using all things, all circumstances, all trials, all victories, all defeats to form His character in us. And that is the ultimate, you know, that's the calling that I'm trying to live for is, God, what are you building in me? What character are you refining in me? How are you making me more like Jesus?
And that is so the goal, isn't it, Jeff, to become more like Christ? I'm this next book I'm working on prayers is having this kind of realization that so many of us live with this alternate, you know, angst, desire, he answers, we get relief. We go from angst, desire, answer, relief. But there's got to be more than this cycle of seeing God as a means to an end, but he's forming
right.
a weightiness in us, you
right.
know, so powerful. Did you want to speak, Christy, to that verse at all?
Yeah, and we've so often thought, you know, all of the circumstances of our lives, the good and the bad, all coming together. I love that verse. Makes me think of like making cookies, and you have all these ingredients, and on their own, if you tasted just a stick of butter and started chewing on it, well, that's not so great. But all of these things coming together to form something, and so the hard times and the good things, it's all God is weaving all of those things together in a way that only he can do to bring something great. And so when I am struggling with hard things, I like to think, okay, Lord, this is an ingredient that you're using to create something really beautiful, and you bring them all together.
So, very good. Yeah, that's a great word picture for people who cook.
Yeah.
I know some of those people. I'm not one of them, but anyway, no, I'm kidding. So Psalm 4:5 was another one, and you, the scripture says, offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Talk about that one, Jeff.
Well, that really was the central scripture for the book that I wrote, Either He's God or He's Not. That scripture jumped out at me one day, and it was, you know, it's a fairly short scripture. Sometimes when people say, what's a good life verse for you? I'll say Psalm 4, verse 5, and they look at me like, well, that's not what I was expecting. But it's the translation that I had was, offer a right sacrifice and put your trust in the Lord. So I liked that it said two things. It said that it's not all up to us. We simply have to offer our best to God. And then trust him. He's going to do amazing things. He's the God of the miraculous and the God of joy and life and miracles and forgiveness and all the things that he does. He's the God of miracles. We simply have to offer a sacrifice and put our trust in him. But that verse also says it's not all up to God either. We have a sacrifice to offer. We're at whatever situation we're in, we have a sacrifice that we can offer to God. We can do our very best. In any situation, I found myself saying this over and over again, what is my right sacrifice here? If it's times when my wife and I are not getting along, which happens once every so often. In
not
life.
Hardly at all.
On the way here.
Not hardly ever.
Hardly
I can say, okay, in the midst of all these other things, I can spend hours and hours wishing that she would do things differently or wishing that circumstances were different, but I can simply just anchor myself in, okay, what is my right sacrifice? What's the thing that I can do to honor God? You know, in the Old Testament, we read about people bringing sacrifices to God. God loved the sacrifices which were pure, sacrifices which were the first fruits. They could bring a sacrifice that was honoring to him, or they could just throw something at God and say, well, here's kind of some leftovers that I've got. We can offer a sacrifice that pleases God. So what is the thing that I can do that will please God in this situation? And then I can just leave the rest up to him. I can just say, God, I trust you with the rest. I'm going to do my part, and I know you're going to do the rest. So that really was the central verse that weaves in and out throughout the book that I wrote.
Wow. This is one of the reasons we ask for verses, because you just unpacked it, brought it to life. And I know somebody's listening today going, this is exactly what I needed to hear. Is there anything you wanted to add to that at all? No, she says. She's shaking her head. That doesn't translate
in
radio. That means no. Okay, I'm thinking you were raised in a Christian home, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I thought. You both really were.
Yeah.
But I'd love to know just when you became all in, or was that just kind of something that, you know, was yours from childhood? When you became all in, when you discovered a call of God in music specifically, how about you, Christy?
You know, we both of our parents are pastors, so we both grew up in the church and very involved in doing music, you know, as a part of the church for a very long time. And so one of the things that I have been thinking about a lot is I'm in the middle of my life. I won't tell you exactly how old, but in the middle of my life is I really have walked with God all the days of my life. I remember him being close when I was very young, probably 5 or 6, even have memories of just him speaking to my heart. And so have walked very closely with God my whole life. And then probably in middle school, high school, felt the Lord calling me into ministry. And I think it's just been a constant growth and constant change and constant, what's the next thing you have for me and how can I become more like you? And I think the older I get, the more I realize how far I have to go. But I'm so, so thankful for his constant keeping of me, and I constantly drawing me to himself. And in moments when I was unsure or heartbroken or lost or didn't know where to go. He's just been a faithful pillar of fire just wow. my whole life.
One thing I just have to say, knowing you personally, you can stand in front of thousands of women and lead worship so powerfully, so beautifully. But like working behind the scenes on the DVD as the producer, a behind the scenes person, I think the reason God is on you so strong is your beautiful humility, because mm-hmm. your capability and your gifts and your capacity are, to me, off the charts. And I think it's rare to find someone who's so creative and organized. I think you're either breezy and creative or you're organized. But you show up with, you've think things through. You know what I mean? You have a linear way of thinking and a creative way of thinking. I think that's a unique gift set. But all wrapped in that is a humble reverence for God. And I just honor that in you. And I don't want to ever do a DVD without you. I just don't. I'm like, she's like my blankie.
I hope you never do.
It's just awesome.
I feel very strongly God will use you immensely if you don't care about the credit, mm-hmm. if you don't hear, you know, I feel just as much a part of the kingdom of God being built because I'm helping you get your beautiful teaching out there. I see that just as much as serving God as if I was the one standing in front of the camera. I really believe that. And
I know you do.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that the Lord looks for all of us. I meet so many women who say, I really want to teach. And I'll say, well, is there a Sunday school? A small mm-hmm. little class. I think mm-hmm. a lot of us tend to think of a big stage, but yet it's the same skill required to teach a small group of women. And if we don't care about the size or how big the platform is, there's so many opportunities for God to use us and for us to build his kingdom.
And we don't know what we're always asking for when we're going for that big prize and platform, because I think Joyce Meyer always says new level, new devil.
Yeah.
But when women come to me and say that, it's kind of like, you know, it's the disciples who wanted to sit at the right and the left hand. And Jesus yeah. is like, you know, they don't really know what they're asking here, because it requires death, and it requires so much death to self, so much ability to stand in battle. And boy, we want the prize without the process. And I think humility is our safe place for sure. But how about you? I know you were raised in a strong Christian home, and just reading your book, you've had, I think, Jeff, a gift of faith. And I honestly do think that that's a gift where I have a girlfriend like that, where there's an inner knowing that's, some of us have to kind of acquire it, walk in it, grab a hold of it. But some, I have met people who it's almost instinctive to believe. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It seems like you have that, but I want to, maybe not, but
well,
yes.
I think that could be the case. I think that comes strongly from my family heritage as well. Similar to Christy, grew up in a pastor's home. My grandparents all were pastors and missionaries. So I, first of all, consider a huge blessing to have this legacy of faith that is handed down. I meet tons of friends and other people around who say, yeah, the legacy that I've been handed down wasn't so great, and I consider myself so fortunate to have that legacy of faith that was given to me from my parents and grandparents. Growing up in church, I remember going up front at a kids' camp to raise my hand and accept Jesus as my Savior. But I think for a lot of pastors' kids, it's just something, as Christy said, you just grew up in church. You don't really know of any days that you were away from the Lord. But there was a day when I was 17, and for whatever reason, I was a pastor's kid, grew up in the church, had been saved, quote unquote, all my life, but I'd never been water baptized. And so it was a service when I was 17 years old at my church in Canada where I grew up. And there was a baptism service. And for whatever reason, I thought, well, I should do this. And so I signed up to be baptized, 17 years old. And when I got in the water that night, that was one of a handful of moments where I clearly, clearly sensed God speaking to me. And what I sensed in that baptismal tank was, it's time to decide. It's time to decide. God was saying to me, okay, you've grown up in your family's faith, and you can go on and live your life however you want, or you can live for me. This is what God was saying to me as 17 years old. And in that baptismal tank, it was so poignant of a moment where I was about to make that public declaration of my faith, where God was speaking to me, this is a moment for you to decide, and you can do either way. But if you're going to live for me, this is when you decide, and you're going to follow me. And that was a great moment. That was kind of like my salvation moment, where I really said, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm going to follow you wherever you want. And it was soon after that that I sensed him call me into worship leading. I was leading worship at our church on a Sunday night, and I just really sensed God saying, this is you, I want you to be in ministry. This is what you're going to do with your ministry, is lead people in worship. And soon after that, I heard about North Central Bible College. I was growing up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, heard about North Central Bible College in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and just another clear moment where I felt God saying to me, that's where you're supposed to go. So a few months after that, loaded up my car and drove to Minneapolis, Minnesota, had never been there. Didn't know, I think I knew one person in the United States at the time. I had one friend that lived in Atlanta. Right. And so, but I just sense, God, this is where God wants me to be. And Minnesota has been home ever since, mostly because of the lady sitting between us. I met Christy my second year, and so
very nice.
This has been home since.
Well, we have some Canadian listeners, and and maybe one of them will sense that they're called to Minnesota. We've got listeners from all over the place. But we're going to kind of integrate just some excerpts from your book and some songs that I would love to have you sing. Tell us about the song Great is the Lord, if you would.
That was a song. We were on staff at a church, and I wrote that song. It's probably been maybe 8 or 9 years now. We were leading up to a worship recording that we were doing. And it was just, I remember writing that song. It was a night where I was just sitting down at the piano, and this was one. Songwriting for me has been kind of a love-hate relationship, and most songwriters would say the same thing, where there's times where it's just a struggle. It's just, it's work, it's labor, it's hard work, kind of working through the song crafting process. This was one that came relatively easily. I remember sitting down at the piano, and I just started singing out the greatness of God. Who is like you, God? Who is like you, creator of the universe? There is none like you. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Holy, he's worthy. So it really kind of, I mean, there was some editing that came after it, but it was a song that came relatively quickly.
Beautiful. Can we hear it?
Sure.
So he's picking up his guitar. They're getting ready to sing. This is live. I want to say while he's getting ready, title of his book is Either He's God or He's Not. We've got 3 copies to give away. If you want to check in, we might not get you on the air, we might, but if you've got a question or comment, let Grace know. She'll type it in the board, and we'll just see if it works to fit you in. But if you get a call in here, we'll get you a copy of Jeff's book, Either He's God or He's Not, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Call with your questions, comments, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Talking to Jeff and Christy Kerr, they're pastors, worship leaders, amazing, gifted people, and they're in live with their guitar. Let's hear this song Jeff wrote, Great is the Lord.
Who is like you, creator of everything? Who can compare to you? Place the stars in the heavens one by one. There is none like you. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. We ascribe to you glory. We declare Counselor, you are bread of life, morning star, you are faithful and true. Majesty, you are righteous, holy, there is none like you. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. We ascribe to you glory. We declare your majesty. Shout your praise, lift it higher, higher. We 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 shout
shout your praise, lift it higher, higher. We shout your praise, lift it higher and higher. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. We ascribe to you glory. We declare your majesty.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Well, here's a song you said you'd be able to sing. It's called Ever Be. And so that's by Bethel Worship,
yeah.
You said?
Yeah.
Tell us why you love that song.
Oh, I heard this song a while ago, and it's the chorus is just so simple. The words are, your praise will ever be on my lips. I think I love choruses that are just so easy. You can just close your eyes. You don't have to think about it. But again, it just reminds me of the faithfulness of God. He has been so good to us. And I remember we have four kids. You mentioned that. Our son Charlie was born 12 weeks premature. And he was a little 2-pound, 10-ounce little guy. And I remember going through 10 weeks of him in the NICU. And really, they told us they didn't think he was going to make it. And we watched the Lord miraculously heal him. His lungs were not functioning at all. They told us there was nothing more they could do. And we gathered around and anointed him with oil and watched the Lord miraculously give my son back to us.
Wow. Like,
and I think from that moment on, I remember the next time I was in church, I remember thinking, I will praise you with all my heart the rest of my life. Like something changed in me. No matter how hard things may get, I have this underlying gratitude for the Lord and what he has done for me. And so this song, I just feel like it tapped that. Your praise will ever be on my lips no matter what. So I think that's part of why I love it so much.
Beautiful. Let's hear it.
Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain, beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. For faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. Pledge yourself to me, and that's why I'm singing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our role. You're making me like you, you're clothing me in white. You bring beauty for ashes, for you will have your bride. For faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and that's why I'm singing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips,
We need to take a short break. We're talking to Jeff and Christy Kerr, worshiping in studio. Don't go away. More with them in just a moment. So glad you tuned in today. We're having worship in the studio. We're having church in the studio. I'm Sissy Larson. This is The Promise. Got my friends Jeff and Christy Kerr in studio. They're worship pastors, actually pastors of a new church they've just launched. Christy is the producer of my DVDs, and her husband writes original scores for the music. So if you ever watch the DVDs that go with my books, that's just our connection. We're friends in ministry, and I love these people. Jeff's written a book titled Either He's God or He's Not. We're going to draw from some content from the book, but they also brought their guitar and their music, and they're singing original songs and favorite worship songs. And we're talking about the idea that either he is God or he is not. And I opened the show, you guys, with this statement. I want to read it again and have you speak to it. What does it mean for God to be God? Do you really believe he's greater than your circumstances, stronger than your fears, and truer than the lying messages that come your way? We so often get used to going through life with a measure of unbelief that we actually never address, never tackle, never confront, or even challenge. But here's what's true. As Jeff says in the title of his book, either he's God or he's not. I want you to speak to that, because I do think this is true, where we might engage our faith in a certain way, but we don't even realize there's this territory that we've not occupied. Right. We just leave unbelief there. But what do you say?
Well, this book coincided with a rather large step of faith that we took in our family about 5 years ago. It was just as I started writing this book, and I knew that God had put on my heart some things to write about. But it was actually, it was probably a unique way to write a book where I just started writing, and kind of the theme kind of evolved as I was writing through the process, and I went back and changed some things later. But I just remember going through this process, reading stories in the scripture, and I would read story after story of God's amazing, miraculous power, where he would provide. People were sick and he would heal. People were dead and he raised them to life. Faithful people were surrounded by the enemy and he would intervene and wipe out the entire enemy. And I just remember the thought of, do I believe that he's the same God? Like, we read all these stories, story after story in the scripture, and yet somehow, thousands of years later, I think it doesn't translate. There's times where I just have doubt in my mind, and I think those promises in scripture, those stories of our amazing God, that somehow they don't translate to today. So I just remember I was struck with that question. Well, either all the things in this scripture about God are true, or they are not. And if they are true, then they apply to today. And this hit home when we took a step of faith about 5 years ago. God called us out of a position in ministry. We were working at a church at the time, and we both sensed that God was leading us to something new. We didn't really know what it was yet, but we took a step of faith, and we resigned our position at the church. And it was easy in that moment leading up to that for me to say, oh, sure, I trust God will provide. But then when it is like your feet are put to the fire
and you have a family of six.
And you have a family, yes, who, you know, we have four kids who all like to eat food. And
the nerve of that.
Right. Every day they want to eat food. Don't you know we're living by faith? Either he's God or he's not, kids. Come on.
Yeah.
But I remember laying awake after we had taken that step of faith. We had resigned our position, and I remember laying awake one night, and you probably have experienced this. It's always worse in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Everything
yes.
just seems like the world is ending in the middle of the night. And I was laying awake thinking, what have I done? Like, God, what have you led me to do? What, this has been a terrible mistake. How in the world are you going to move in this? How in the world are you going to provide for our family? And I remember just this conversation that I was having with God, just hearing God ask the question, well, what's the matter? What are you so worried about? And I'm like, well, I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about this. And I was just listing the things like, God, I'm worried about this, this, this. And very clearly he said, it's only stressful if you don't trust me. I just remember feeling like,
wow,
God, I'm worried about this. I'm stressed out about this. And he just spoke to my heart and said, it's only stressful if you don't trust me.
Fantastic.
And it was just that from there, that was kind of the, and so the book just goes through that idea of every circumstance I go through, I can just say either he's God or he's not. Is he God? Is he the God of Scripture or is he not?
Love, love it. Title of Jeff's book again is Either He's God or He's Not. I think we've got two copies left. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. If you're going through a time where you've stepped out of the boat and now you're in a dark night of the soul, we'd love to pray with you. You can check in with comments or questions. Like I said, we may get you on the air, we may not. But Brian called in and said, thank you for this show. Jeff's book is a reminder that we need to fit into God's plan, not try to fit him into ours. And I'd love, if you don't mind, I'm kind of throwing this at them on live radio, but I am not alone, Carrie Jobe. And we've done an event before, you and I, with her before. And I love that. And you sing her song so well. We've had her in studio before, too. But the reason I want you to sing this song is because I'm thinking of that for these people in the land between when they're not there yet, right?
Right.
And they feel alone. They feel like, what have I done? But you said God. And sometimes we think if he said it, then it's all supposed to be smooth sailing. But no, it's buckle up, buttercup. We got to keep walking. But we need to remember that we're not alone. Yeah. Do you want to speak to what that song means to you before you sing it?
Yeah. You know, when Jeff talked about us taking this huge leap of faith, I think in my mind, I thought, okay, God, we'll take the step that you ask and immediately we'll have the perfect answer. And so we resigned our position and a month came and 2 months came and 3 months came and we had no idea what was next. And God was silent. And I have never felt
panic.
My faith question more like, have, and I almost was like, well, maybe he's just done with us. Maybe he's forgotten about us. And yet looking back now that we have started this church, God led us to the place where we planted this church that we adore in Farmington. I see now how much of he needed to refine me and change things and grow. And within that 5-year period, his faithfulness, we learned what it meant to trust him. We can say that you trust him. And then when you are put in the position where you have to, and we didn't know how we were going to make it. And the amazing thing is now I look back at the faithfulness of God. No one went hungry.
Wow.
We survived. We actually had one right when we were making the decision. We were praying that God would give us a sign, and we had some insurance claims on our house, and we had a chunk of money that came in right as we had made that decision that was kind of a little pad in our account that we weren't expecting. We saw that as such provision from God, which the amazing thing is when we started Homestead Church this spring, that pad was still in our checking account.
Wow.
The Lord gave us that little cushion to keep us, let us know, okay, there's a little something there. And yet we didn't even need it. There, we were fed by the ravens. Every single month there was enough to sustain us. And so looking back now, if you are feeling like, God, we took this step of faith, where are you? I promise you, he is in the midst of it, and you're going to be able to look back and see the faithfulness of God. He has not abandoned you. He is teaching you something in it and knowing that he's with you. I had more doubt in that season than ever before in my life, because I did think he's left us. He's left us. And so this song speaks so much to that. You are not alone. He is with you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's hear.
When I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be old. breaking through. The dark of night will not overtake me. I am pressing into you. Lord, you fight my every battle, and I will not fear, for I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. You amaze me, redeem me. You call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me. You're my strength, you're my defender, you're my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful.
That song so fits the story you told. Thank you so much. And thank you for being faithful, because now there's a body of believers who are being built up in the faith because you dared to step out in faith. And we're so afraid of that land between, but it's such an important time to trust him, you know. Well, before you put that guitar down, pick it back up again. Sorry about that, Jeff. That's the first time I've ever bossed you around. But anyway.
I have four ladies in my house. I have a wife and three daughters. I am used to it.
Very good. So tell us about Your Love Endures Forever, would you?
That was another song. This is going to sound funny, because you've probably picked the two songs that I've written that came the easiest, where I was just singing about the faithfulness of God. I was just singing about in every circumstances, great is your love for me, great is your faithfulness, in times of trial, in times of victory, in times where, you know, I was talking about those stories in the Old Testament where we experience that in our lives, where we feel like we are surrounded by darkness or by the enemy. We can confidently say, great is your faithfulness, your love endures, you are good, and your love endures, you are with me. And then there's a simple bridge part that comes later in the song that just simply sings these words: Jesus, you are my shelter. Jesus, you are my provider. Jesus, you are my Savior, Redeemer. Jesus, you are all I need.
Great is your faithfulness, O God, though trial and sorrow be. There's joy in the shadow of your wings. Great is your love for me.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. Your promises I believe. When downcast my soul, you are my hope. Great is your love
is your faithfulness, O God. I fear not my enemy. The Lord is my strength, He is my shield. Great is your love for me. You are good and your love endures. You are good and your love endures. You are good and your love endures forever, forever. You are my shelter, Jesus. You're my provider, Jesus. My Savior, Redeemer, Jesus. You are all I need, Jesus. You are my shelter, Jesus, you're my provider. Jesus, my Savior, Redeemer. Jesus, you are all I need. You are good and your love endures. You are good and your love.
I can't even tell you how much I love that song. Absolutely beautiful. Wondering if you wouldn't mind singing Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. You want to speak to just maybe what you like about that beautiful hymn?
Well, I am on a bit of a hymns not kick lately. I've been a part of a couple of several different churches, and you know, there's in every church there's always the conversations about, well, we need to do the old songs, we need to do the new songs, and I'm somewhat convinced that, you know, a good song is a good song. I love the hymns because they are theologically
rich.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And they were written in a day and age where people did not have ready access to theology or the written word. So this was how songs were, how back then were how truths of Scripture, truths of God's character, rich theology were communicated. They would learn a song, and we know what it's like to have a song stuck in your head. Sometimes it's an annoying song that my kids have been listening to, and it gets stuck in your head. If you can have a rich theological song like Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, or other hymns like that, or even a song, a contemporary song that's just rich in the characteristics of who God is, and those words are ringing around in your mind throughout the day, that is just something, that's such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also on, as a worship leader, I always will talk to young worship leaders. I said, new songs, old songs, lights and sounds, guitars, organs, whatever you want to use, let's just make sure that people are singing along with us. Let's make sure we provide an opportunity where people can raise their voices. There's just something powerful. So this hymn, for example, when I lead it, I love it because it's rich in theology. It's something that is people are familiar with, and they sing it out. And just hearing a group of people, whether it's a small group or a large group, just singing out these truths of Scripture, these characteristics of God, is just something that's amazing to be part of.
Good. Thank you.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily unconstrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Someone listening today needed to hear that song. In fact, Jenny wrote in and said, thank you for your encouraging words. I needed this today. It just felt like God wanted me to let you know that he's right here with me today. Thanks again for being willing to be used of God. So that's precious. Great. Here's a line from your book. Don't put that guitar down just yet. The eyes of God are searching the whole earth, looking to strengthen those who are committed to him, fully committed in every way. Raising your hand is just the beginning. Before you sing the song, we just got a few minutes here, maybe one more song, and then we'll be praying here. Called Me Higher is one I'd love for you to sing. I want you to talk about the idea that raising your hand is just the beginning. Jeff, I feel like this is needs to be said and understood on a deeper level, because so many secure their eternity and then live like the rest of the world.
Right.
They call themselves believers, but are you really believing that the promise is true and, as you say, that God is who he says he is? So say a word about that before we sing this one.
Right. Well, if... you know, I was reading through the Gospels and Jesus calling people to be his followers, and it wasn't a, you know, say this and then just go on with your life. It was, come follow me, come follow me. And I, throughout the book, I kind of parallel different stages of the nation of Israel, the Israelites' journey. You know, they're in slavery in Egypt, and then Moses leads them out, miraculous, through the Red Sea, and then they enter the Promised Land. And God is very intentional with what he gives, instructions he gives to them is go in and take out all the inhabitants, all the former people that lived in this land. It wasn't an unoccupied paradise. There was people living there. And God's instructions for them were, you know, it's kind of graphic to think about today, but go in and wipe those people out. I don't want any trace of them. And I think it's that God knew that those other cultures, their patterns of idolatry, their ways of life, if they were allowed to be around the nation of Israel, the people that God wanted to raise up as his people, eventually the Canaanites and all the other nations around, their pattern of idolatry would kind of seep into the Israelites. And I think God knew that, saying, no, you're in the Promised Land, but this is just the beginning. You have to walk this out. You have to learn what it's like to be my people. And, you know, you read throughout the book of Judges that they stopped short and they allowed people, they started intermarrying with these other people. And inevitably and predictably, those idolatry patterns soon became their idolatry patterns. And I just like that statement of raising your hand is just the beginning. When you make a decision to follow Christ, that's your starting point. And that's your decision of saying, God, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I'm going to be your follower. And it's that process where he begins to do that work in us, that almost like the Promised Land is the same thing as the areas of in our life where God is saying, okay, now I want to move into this area of your life. And I want you to hand that over to me. I want to be God of every area of your life. I want it. Raising your hand is just the starting point.
Very good. I want to just say this. We'll probably have time for about a minute of the song. And I'm just, because we're on live radio, I'll just tell you, Jeff, if we could do kind of what we did going out to break, that when I kind of give you the cue, we'll bring the voices down, keep the guitar. And if we can pray to the guitar, that would be great. So let's listen to Called Me Higher.
just sit. I could just sit and wait for all your goodness. Hope to feel your presence. And I could just stay. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you. Hope to feel something. But you have called me higher. You have called me deeper. And I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher. You have called me deeper. And I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You lead me.
Father, thank you for this time today with these dear friends. Thank you that you are greater than we know. Your ways are higher than ours. Lord, increase our capacity to know your love. Increase our perspective of who you are and who you are in our specific circumstances. We love you. We honor you. We thank you for this time today.
And Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, anyone who is feeling like maybe you have left them, maybe they are in the midst of a dark season, maybe they are in the midst of a land that they don't know why you have led them to, God, would you remind them that you are there in the midst of it, that you have plans, you have purposes, you have not abandoned them, you have not left them, and it is all working together for your good. It is all working as a part of you building something in them for your plans and your purposes. Help them to keep that in sight as they are in this season.
Amen. Wow, great time today. Jeff and Christy, thank you for joining us today. Good to have you guys. God bless you. You've been listening to Live the Promise, Hour 1. Hour 2 is up next. I'll be talking to Gary Thomas about a woman's influence in a man for her husband in marriage. Don't go away. Another great hour of Live the Promise is up next.